Are we really aware of what our brain can do? This is Dr. Herb L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Are we really aware of what our brain can do? I was listening to a video from TED, and he has all sorts of wonderful programs that he sponsors, programs of learning, programs of study, programs of understanding. And in this particular program, he had a young lady, Jill, who got up and explained how she had a brain hemorrhage and what experiences she had when she had the brain hemorrhage. Her left and right hemisphere were two separate units. One was her remembering and acting and thinking, and her brain for doing things that just come normally. And so on one side, she had a brain hemorrhage, and it was a very interesting experience. She was at the time 37 years old, something like that, and she was a brain scientist studying the brain, because her brother had had a brain anomaly, and she wanted to see if she could ever learn anything that might be helpful to work with him and his program. Well, she gave a talk about 18 minutes long, describing her experience with the hemorrhage and what happened to her when it happened, and how she responded to it, and how she finally got help, and after an operation, taking the golf ball-sized hemorrhage out that was pressing against her brain, it took her 6 years of recovery time, and she's back to normal again. But what she experienced and what she remembered are quite interesting. She describes it as a state of near nirvana, and she also described it in a common psychiatric term that only the top psychiatrists in the world use this term, and she said she was in la-la land. La-la land is where you are not responsible for being a human being. You're being sort of a free being, whatever that might be. So she was cognizant of this la-la land, and she said it felt so good. She didn't want to leave it. She didn't want to come back to her real world. And the part of her brain that was still functioning properly said, hey, come on home, you know, don't go wandering off like that. But because this hemorrhage took place in her brain, it put pressure on certain areas and caused her to sort of disassociate herself with reality and enjoy a la-la land experience. Well, after she recovered, she wanted to do more research in that area. She says, if she can have this take place within her brain, that she is freed from human limitations and off onto the la-la land experience, where everything is beautiful and good, where everybody loves everybody in the world, and the whole world is a beautiful place, and everything is just glorious and wonderful. It sounds kind of good, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Well, she thinks it sounds kind of good too. And she wants to study more deeply to see how we can consciously use that la-la land to our benefit. And of course, I've been teaching this now for many years, how to use the la-la land for our benefit. And people just don't seem to pay attention. They think it's silly what I say, and they think it's silly what other people who say the same type of thing say, because it's not logical and reasonable, and it's not something that is practiced and taught in our normal educational program. And the simplicity of it is this phrase, thoughts are things. And the simplicity of it is, these thoughts can be created in any way we want, by our affirmations, to our negative or our benefit. It doesn't matter. The mind does not have any judgment as to what thoughts we should think or should not think. The mind is merely the precursor of our thought. It exercises our thought into actuality in our body and in our life and affairs. Now, when we say positive thoughts about ourselves, we are telling our brain, this is a positive la-la world. It's a beautiful, fantastic world. And our brain is going to make us enjoy that state of nirvana, that state of la-la-ness, that state of not responsibility for the world the way it is, and rather creating the world the way we would like it to be. Now, in the field of psychiatry and psychology, they do not recommend this, because this is the thing that puts you into a mental institution, because you're not responsible for yourself and you're not responsible for your activity in the world. But all great philosophers, all great scientists, all great beings, theologians and what have you, all come up with the one thing, man, know thyself. Well, now, why should we know ourselves if we have to depend on what's going on in the outer world? Why should we know ourselves when we should know the rules of the world? The rules of the world, what are its regulations? How does it have to be conducted? How does it have to be acted upon? This is the important thing we say. But stop and think. What is our reality? Our reality transcends the brain. You know that? Mm-hmm. Now, would you say that a computer is a self-indulgent thing? That it completely is in control of itself and completely determines and does whatever it wants to do? Well, yes, that is true. But whatever it wants to do is what it has been programmed to do. Mm-hmm. It is programmed to be a radio. It's programmed to be a computer. It's programmed to be a word processor. It's programmed to be these graphic things. It's programmed to be them. Now, if you take away the program, then will that computer be that? No. Can it be that? No. Not unless it has the program. Not unless it has the program. Well, our brain is as that computer. If we give our brain the program, I'm a genius, then our brain will respond like that, allowing in, out of the infinite universal mind, the oneness and allness that it is, the genius that we are. And then, of course, if you say, I'm not a genius, or I don't know that, or I don't know this, as we commonly say to ourselves, then we are closing the door of our brain to any of the universal concepts. Now, we know this is true. We've been told this by many before here, and we'll be told it by many in the years to follow. But only those who live in the now and enjoy it right here and right now, only those people will have the blessings of it, the benefit of it. The rest of the people will go on struggling, trying to make something in the outer happen when it's waiting only from the inner to be told what to do. Our brain is a wonderful thing, and scientists are finding more and more information about it, like Jill and her experience with the brain. If you want to listen to it, we'll give you the link to it. But what is it that she's doing? She's trying to find out how she can tell the world that it's a wonderful world, how she can tell the world that we should be nice to one another, how she can tell the world that this is a great world and a blessed world. And so she wants to know how. And she knows how. She knows how. It's what program her brain has tucked away, but hidden away because of what the world says we must do. Now, how do we reveal what that program that's already in the brain? You see, that's our original purity and integrity, to love your neighbor, to love the world, to love unconditionally all. That's our original purity and integrity. And our original purity and integrity wants to be revealed. And we would like to reveal our original purity and integrity, and the way we do it is by paying attention to our inner self. How do you pay attention to your inner self? How do you pay attention? Now, here we are at the monastery here, absolute monastery, and if I were to sit on your back like a fly and be with you for one full day, 24 hours, how many of those hours would you take to actually listen to your inner self? You listen to your iPod, your iPhone, you listen to your telephones, you listen to your computers, you listen to your program, you listen to your work, you listen to your activities that you're involved in. But if you really would add it up, how much time do you spend listening within yourself? Well, I have so many things to do. Well, you could do all the things you have to do 100 times faster if you would take that reserve from within. If you listen within. Now, how do you listen within? Well, this morning I was sitting up in the corner, at the oasis corner of the path, and it was black night out, the stars were brilliant and bright, and it was really lovely to look around, and Rex was lying there at my feet, and I turned on my iPhone, and I checked that my signal powers were all high. And so I sent out 3 or 4 little memos and with their pictures saying, I'm thinking about you. And then I closed it all. I put it in my pocket. That took maybe about 5 minutes. And then I sat there for another 10 minutes just listening. Because now I had done my busy stuff and I was free of it. So now I was just listening. And just listening within. And what she experienced in her bliss, I think I experienced in that 10 minutes, because I just felt totally at ease there. All is in divine order. See? And it's in divine order, not human order or my divine order or my choice, but divine order. And I just said that to myself, it's in divine order. And I just looked around inside of my heart. I looked around inside of my mind. I looked around inside of me, you know. And then I found a very interesting thing happening. As I was looking around inside of me, I saw a hole. And I had never seen that hole before. And so I decided, okay, I'll go and, you know, I can do anything. So I went out that hole. And out the other side of that hole was a whole new universe. A beautiful universe. It was full of lovely pastel colors. It was full of lovely, peaceful attitudes. It was just an attitude, a sensitivity of joy, of bliss, of wonderment, you know. And I thought, hey, this is cool. I didn't know I had that in me. But, you see, I went through the hole. Now, did I go through the hole out of me, or did I go through the hole into another part of me? What was I doing? What was I experiencing? Well, who gives a darn? It was great. It was great. But then I came back in again because I had to finish taking my walk. And I came back, and it was just really blissful. And I walked the path just feeling light as a feather, just feeling in this state of relaxation, state of nirvana, if you like, or bliss, or whatever. But, you know, we don't know what meditation can really do for us when we let go and listen within, when we go past the limits that our brain has set for us, or we have set for our brain, and we get our bloated nothingness out of the way of the divine circuits, and then you find that hole. And when you find that hole and you look through there, you say, oh, my goodness, that looks interesting. And so you pop out there. Now, What if I were just to pop out there and stay out there, you know? That's a possibility. Or what if I were to widen the hole and bring it in with me and let it sort of circulate through all the rest of me? Well, I think that conscious awareness, conscious knowingness, that conscious act is what we all can do. But if we don't take the time to look within and get our bloated nothingness out of the way of the divine circuits, we're not going to find that. We're not, and we're going to say, oh, meditation, I can try and try, but nothing comes. Nothing happens to me when I meditate. Nothing happens to me when I... Of course not. You're in the way. You're in the way. How many times have you listened to another person and they're talking to you and they're saying things so interesting and you want to tune in and jump in and say something, but you hold back. You just... For some reason or other, you're intelligent, and you hold back, and you let them finish talking about what they're talking about. And when they're done, they have done everything you were going to say anyhow. And when they're done, they feel so good. And when they're done, you think, oh, that's a new approach. That's great. That's super. And shut up. Take it and run with it and live with it. You see, you'll never know what wisdom others can impart to you until you learn to listen to them quietly and don't judge them and don't correct them and don't think that what they're doing is right or wrong or indifferent. Just listen. And when they get done, then everything you were going to change, correct, and not listen to, you think, oh man, I might have missed that. And we don't want to miss it. We want to be open. Now, how can we be open? Learn first by meditating within yourself. Listen within yourself. Let the divine in you reveal itself to you, through you, as you. And then as you do that, then you'll start realizing that the divine in other people is out there bubbling away. And you can tune into that and enjoy it. And when you do that, then you find that little hole inside of your consciousness, inside of your brain, inside of your thinking system, and the sunshine is out there all the time. The happiness is out there all the time. The goodness is out there all the time. And you say, well, why don't we just go in our brain and out there and stay, you know? Well, a lot of people do. And that's what we call death. A lot of people do. They go out there and stay. And they let the body say, oh, the heck with the body. I'm done with it. I got what I wanted. I'm in bliss. And then most people, they come back if they've had that experience, like the Buddha. He came back, and then he wanted to share with the world somewhat of his joy and his bliss. Because up to that time, he had flagellated his body, and he'd belittled himself. And from that time on, he said, it's party time. And how wonderful that is. So think about these things. They're kind of exciting, and they're kind of inviting too. Mm-hmm. But it's only there when you have let go of everything else. And then you get your bloated nothingness out of the way of the divine circuits, and wow, there it is. It's there all the time. And I didn't see it because I had my big old objections in the way. But it's wonderful. Have a lovely day and know that I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.